Good morning, everyone. How's it going? You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I am Tammy. On the line with me is the one and only Althea. How's it going, Althea?
It's going all right. Good to be here. How are you doing?
Just a little chilly, you could say. There's a lot of ice and snow out there on the streets.
Sure.
I hope everyone is staying safe. And thank you so much, Sonia, for making that trek and doing the thing and getting us on the air. Appreciate it very much. You are the best.
That's true.
I hope that. There you go.
Won't deny
it. A little response, a little thank you. Today we have a very interesting day. We have a conversation that we are going to be having with Emery and Karen. Emery is a local resident who works with neighbors to study and take action on systems of police impunity. And Karen, who is a youth mentor for TVNU, Building Justice, which is a Jewish social group gap year program in Portland. Karen is also a core leader with Bend ARC, a Jewish political action group that is supporting local police accountability campaigns. We're going to be speaking with Emery and Karen about the police contract union negotiation and just kind of getting an idea of what the demands are, as well as the type of organizing and you know, the way that this campaign has been so far. Althea, I know that you also have a bit of audio for us to play.
Yeah, Tinduan Hardis, she is a longtime activist on this issue. I wanted to make sure we got her. This is an excerpt from an interview she did for KBOO News with Jason Sherman. So let's hear it.
So the police union contract, which is going to be renegotiated in January. If you personally, if you knew that you only had the political capital to be able to change one thing about it, what would be that one thing that you would want to renegotiate?
Well, you know, unfortunately, over the years, there is so much egregious stuff in the Portland police contract that no other public employee has. I think a union contract should only be about working conditions, period. If I had a magic wand, it would be about working conditions. It would be about worker protections. We would not have all the crazy stuff like, currently there's a clause in the police union contract that says elected officials cannot say anything about a law enforcement officer that may bring embarrassment to them. Now, how the heck do I know what embarrasses 900 individual people? Been in the contract so long that no one remembers what year it was added, it's very problematic. There are just so many things like that that, again, are not in any other public employee's contract. Most public employees' contracts are about working conditions and worker safety, period. And that's what the police union contract should be. It should not be a fail-safe to not hold them accountable for behavior that's inappropriate. And that's what it has become.
That was a clip from KBOO Evening News with Commissioner Joanne Hardesty talking about her point of view of what should, one of the things, main things that should be changed in the police union negotiation, contract negotiation. And on the line today, we do have two people, activists, that are actively working around this campaign. Like I mentioned before, Emery, who is a local resident working with neighbors to study and take action on systems of police impunity, as well as Karen, who's a youth mentor for TVNU Building Justice, as well as a core leader with Bend ARC, which is a Jewish political action group that is supporting local police accountability campaigns. Emery and Karen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you all so much. So off of that piece of audio, we kind of got Commissioner Hardesty's point of view, but I guess, Emery, pushing back on the police union contract, obviously, is it new, as we heard and know that Joanne Hardesty has been active for a very long time, as well as other organizations, for example, Don't Shoot Portland. Can you give us a little bit of history around this subject?
Sure, and thanks for having me so much. Around the USA, police unions have a lot of power, and Portland is no exception. And the U.S. is a place where there's an extraordinary amount of police violence, police killings. And so police need police bat nearly 1,000. You know, they bat nearly 100%, you know, on protecting their own after incidents of violence that hurt families and harm the community, harm individuals and families. And part of the way that they're able to do that is by kind of working with the city with their police, quote unquote, union to throw in layers of protection that essentially make it nearly impossible for the public's elected representatives in the city government to kind of remedy situations. So historically, like the police contract is kind of worked out behind closed doors. It's worked out maybe on a timeline that the public doesn't know about. And then an incident happens and the public goes, oh my God, this is terrible. And the city goes, oh, we can't do anything because of the police contract. And so this happened in 2012, this happened in 2016. And in the meantime, we in the community have sought to totally change the narrative and reorient the power back to the people so that instead of contracts being like negotiated just in private without the community demands at the center, but with essentially the PPA or the police driving the ship with the city kind of working in a complicit way with them, we seek to, you know, get the process out into the public, get the community demands at the front of the line and make sure that we really change the momentum from police feeling like they're never going to be held accountable for incidents of violence to get it to a place where we really don't have any more of this police violence at some point. In 2016, lots of people went to City Hall to protest the contract that Charlie Hales, the then mayor, had kind of worked out behind closed doors in a rush in advance before Ted Baylor got into office. A bunch of people went to City Hall. They were led by people like Teresa Rayford and others. And the city just basically ignored them. And then the police came in and violently pushed them out of the building. And so the police, instead of like negotiating sort of in a good faith with the community, just like this past summer, they choose to use violence and force rather than really sit down and get these major issues fixed.
And so how is the contract bargaining? Obviously, it's set up differently in the past because of COVID. Are there other ways that it is different than how it's gone down in years past? And how do you think that will impact the outcome?
Yeah, so this time around, first of all, the community elected Joanne Hardesty, and Hardesty was upfront about her desire to address issues like the police contract. Just like the community elected a reform prosecutor, Mike Schmidt, the community voted over 80% to put in an oversight board over the police. And so there's been widespread changes in the community's desire. And the network I'm working in, we fought hard to get the community's demands. Back in 2019, we wanted to get these bargaining sessions between the PPA and the city. We wanted to get them out in the open, and we wanted to make sure that the city could not avoid dealing with the demands, the long-term demands of the public. And so this year during COVID, every other PPA bargaining session is held in the public, and people can sign up to watch it on Zoom. That's one. But also, you know, every couple weeks, our network is making sure that letters with the community demands, with lots of community organizations signed on saying we back these demands. We make sure those letters, that communication is front and center in every city councilor's office. So they can't come back to us and say, oh, we didn't know what you wanted. So they know. And what we're seeing is every city councilor has a representative in these bargaining sessions. So Commissioner Maps, Commissioner Rubio, Mayor Wheeler, all five of them, they have a representative on the city bargaining team, and you can see their face. And before, that level of participation from the city elected leaders, that just wasn't happening. And so that's a credit to people on the inside, like Joanne Hardesty, and also people on the outside who for so long have pushed in every way they can to change this momentum and get the community's needs back in the front and center.
Thanks, Emery. That's great. And Karen, I'd like to ask you, when you do the community organizing and, you know, being a youth mentor and core leaders in the arts, when you get to talk with, like regular everyday folks that aren't necessarily well-versed in this type of stuff, but do want to participate in some way, how do you go about explaining this, and what kind of programs or actions has you done, whether it's with Bend the Arc or with Too New?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to focus on when I talk to folks is that you don't have to be an expert to understand what's going on, to understand the basics of what's going on. And in fact, a lot of the harm that has come from the police union contract in general is because people don't know what's going on. And like Emery said, people say, oh, well, we're mad about this one incident, but they don't participate in the contract negotiations. And then when the negotiations come up, nothing gets changed, and all that harm that's in the contract just stays there. And so we've been doing some things around public awareness and just in general educating people that it's okay to say to city council, and in fact, very encouraged to say to city council, we want these changes. And so the letter that Unite Oregon is sort of spearheading and asking organizations from all over the city to sign on to has a bunch of different demands on it. And one of the things that I am doing and that Bend the Arc is doing and that I'm trying to do in my work with Teve New as well is help people understand what those demands are and that they're really in some buckets of like discipline. We want to get all of the discipline in the contract into one place. The embarrassment clause that you heard Joanne Hardesty talk about, that's still there. So we want to get that out of there. And there's some basic things around bias education, which we all know is woefully insufficient, and that our police force has some really egregious racial biases in the way that they treat folks out on the street. And so all of those things, the bias education, the discipline, and the embarrassment clause are in that letter. And in terms of actions of how we organize folks around it, Bend the Arc has been putting together some educational events. We're a Jewish group, so we do some like Shabbat dinners where we invite folks in to learn about it and put together actions around signing the petition that Unite Oregon also has. And we also sent our own letters to commissioners about why we found police accountability work to be important. I'm working today with some Teve New participants to work on a social media blast to get some word out about how this works. So it's really all sort of focused on public awareness and education and saying it's okay to show up to the negotiations. In fact, please do. We want to put public pressure on the city, and we want to let the PPA know that we're watching and we're asking and we want these changes.
Thank you. That's
very cool. So,
yeah, empowering the community. That's fantastic. Althea, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of circle back to something you, Karen, and Emery mentioned. These demands, can we talk through some of the demands and what, you know, if they come to fruition in the new contract, what would their impact be?
Sure, I can start. Well, first of all, I'll just read, basically, the Oregonian published something, you know, looking back at police deadly use of force, police killings in the area. And every single time, essentially, a Portland police officer is never really fired or disciplined if they kill someone. And we're talking dozens and dozens of cases. And so what we're really trying to do is make sure, I'll just read it from here. We need the public to have meaningful power, meaning an independent civilian agency needs the ability to compel officers to testify and recommend and impose discipline. And in cases of deadly force, an independent civilian agency must have explicit jurisdiction in deadly force cases. And so those sound a little wonky, but basically what we're saying is remove the barriers that exist that prevent the public from seeing clear, honest, open investigations and discipline that meets the offense for the officer. And currently, the contract has a number of barriers to that, both in the contract itself and in how it's practiced. And the oversight board that voters voted in overwhelmingly also plays a key role in that mechanism. So I'll pause there, but that's just one element. So we're dealing with deadly force. We're dealing with the killing of people like Quanis Hayes, Andre Gladden, Coben Henriksen, Aaron Campbell, so many families who have lost loved ones, and those officers, instead of being disciplined, no one knows what the investigation was. They stay on the force, they get promoted, and the city says, oh, you know, we can't do anything. Or when we do try to fire them, an arbitrator overturns the decision. And so that's another element that we're trying to change. So essentially, we're trying to put the hand back in the people who are facing the police violence in order to say, what has your experience been, and how can we ensure a system that, you know, prevents this kind of experience happening to other people? Okay, I said I'd pause there before, but I went on, so I'm going to actually pause there for now.
Oh, it's all good. Thank you so much, Amri. Karen, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that in terms of the human impact, I'm just thinking about Althea's question about what is the impact of these demands. I think I want to start with, like, the larger dream world that I have. You know, someday I would love for everyone to feel safe in their own community. And so this police contract negotiation is about moving us like a baby step closer to that. So if you can imagine the discipline things that Emery was talking about, you know, there's things in the police contract that are, say, you know, 48 hours after someone has, after an officer has engaged in undue force, they have 48 hours to like get their story straight before anyone can discipline them. And that is a protection that is not afforded to, right, so that is not afforded to the average person and shouldn't be afforded to folks who are being disciplined in public service. And so if you can imagine us moving a little bit more towards officers being held accountable the same way that other people are held accountable, and eventually that moving us towards a world where there's less harm, and where there's less harm for Black and brown communities, where there's less harm for lower socioeconomic statuses, all because we've started to move this contract in a direction that officers are held accountable and people feel a little more safe.
That was such a great answer. I do just want to say that that 48-hour rule is a terrible rule that was put into the contract at this PPA's request in order to give their officers absurd levels of protection. However, that one rule was actually removed from the contract the last time around under Charlie Hale. And, you know, in order to do that, the PPA extracted a large dollar amount concession from the city just to remove that one rule, but I just wanted to correct it, that part is actually out, but it's indicative of the kind of absurd pseudoscientific bad faith protections that are planted all throughout the contract to basically, you know, harm the public.
Thanks,
Emery.
No worries.
Karen, I wanted to ask, since you do work with the youth and at New Building Justice, can you tell us a little bit about what their point of view is about this and kind of like what their biggest concerns are as youth?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. I work with a variety of young people that are all in typically the Jewish progressive community, but they all are at different levels with it. You know, some of them are really excited and on the sort of police abolition side and want to envision a world where we have community safety models that are radically different than the ones that we have right now. Some of them are still learning about and are more interested in working on police reform work. And they're sort of all along the spectrum. I would say the biggest concern that I often hear from them as they learn about the contract is sort of the same ones that I hear from anyone as they start to learn about the contract. That, like Emery said, these are just egregious and overly protective measures that are in the contract for officers. And I hear a lot of, that's not fair, or really? Or are you kidding? That's the basic things that you guys are asking for. Why aren't you asking for something bigger? And I just want to, you know, I want to sympathize with that. And that's what I say to anyone, honestly, young people or adults, anytime I talk to folks about the police union contract, they have the same response of like, well, why can't we push for more? And I just have to keep reminding myself in that also, and remind other folks that this is a really slow process. And as Emery has laid out for us so beautifully, this is a long history of this contract being sort of rushed through and swept under the rug and not really addressed, and community demands that are very obvious. I mean, you know, the measure for the Police Accountability Board passed with something like 82% favorability or something. I don't remember the exact numbers, but really overwhelming public ask for more accountability. And it just hasn't been happening. So this organizing work and this year feels really exciting to have so much more public attention on it, that we're moving towards this, again, in baby steps. So primary concern is, why is it moving so slow? And sort of the answer is, well, baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
So since the both of you have been mobilizing on this issue, I'm wondering if you have advice for folks who are new to the issue or who are trying to get their network involved in you know, pushing for police reform, for police accountability. Emery, you want to start?
Yeah, so I think I'll go. Are you guys still there?
Sure, thank you, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so if folks want to get involved with a network of different groups that and individuals who have worked on this, they can check out unite.org/policing and find the demands letter. You know, if an individual wants to sign a petition, we're definitely accepting and really encouraging individuals to sign that too. And all these are going to be in the show notes, but you can go to bit.ly/PPA contract, lowercase, so bit.ly/PPA contract. So these are a couple mechanisms, but there's lots of ways to work on policing and issues in society. And, you know, one of the best is just to join an organization like Karen's, to join, meet with other people, talk about the topic, network with your community, learn about the history, show up for events, talk to people who have been there before. So, there's lots of ways to get involved, and our network is happy to have any organization that wants to meet with us, talk with us, see if they want to sign on. The contacts and demands are at unite.org/policing. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, definitely. And right. Karen, same question for you, as well as what is some advice that you may have for either young organizers or just people in general who want to organize around this, and just some advice that you have, as well as some info about the organizations that you're part of?
Yeah, I want to just echo everything that Emery said, really, that there's so much work happening out there about police accountability, and there's people who have been working on this for a really long time, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you want to get involved, there is a way for you to get involved. And whatever skills you want to add to the work, there is a way for you to get involved. Reach out to Unite Oregon. If you want to be part of the Jewish community, reach out to Ben Ziyark Portland. And reach out to anyone, honestly, if you find some kind of work that you want to be involved in. My biggest advice is to say, don't be overwhelmed by the enormity of the task, if you will, that every little bit counts, and that if you reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm looking to get involved, that is going to be enough to get your foot in the door to do something about it. And it maybe starts with the petition that Emery is talking about, or getting an organization that you're involved with to sign on to Unite Oregon's letter, or even just hosting a Zoom gathering with your friends to say, hey, we should just do some research, or we should go to Rethink Portland's website and just update ourselves on what the latest press releases are, and then taking the step to get yourself involved. And I think the other thing I want to add is that especially for young folks, social media is, as we know, a huge way that activist information is being shared. So create content if you want to learn about the police contract for yourself, and create content and share it out. If you want to find content, there's so much of it out there about why police accountability is important, why it's related to racial justice, how this is all connected. Share that stuff out too, because this is a really, like we said, baby steps towards the world that we want to live in.
Now, Karen,
thank you so much, Karen.
Would love to give you both kind of a final thought here. Anything that we didn't talk about before we have to say goodbye? Do you want to, Marie? Do you mind starting out?
Sure. I just want to say, you know, we are talking about baby steps, but at the same time, there's been massive earthquakes of change in the community. And, you know, when young people say, how can this be all you're asking for? Or this is all that's getting done. Remember, these are very powerful systems, and the amount of solidarity that's out there, multiracial working class solidarity that's been developed thanks to Black Lives Matter, thanks to the Indigenous movement, thanks to, you know, Asian Americans organizing and Muslims organizing, there is so much more support out there and energy that people have together that they want to change this and make this better. And we see that in so many things that are happening both in Oregon and in Portland. So if you're young, you know, it seems like, very little is possible, but actually a lot is possible, and a lot is moving and changing. And though times are dark and hard right now, we got to keep our eyes on really staying together, learning these systems, learning how to change these systems. And that involves people in office, involves people out of office, young people, old people. So, yeah, stay focused with your eyes on the prize, have good relationships, become an organizer, and, yeah, stick with it. And this contract, it's a dark place, but over time, we're going to get things right. And that might mean that, you know, the contract looks way, 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 way different than it does now. So thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Emery. Karen, do you have any final thoughts or anything that we hadn't covered yet that you'd like to bring to the table right now?
Just that I feel inspired by this work. And like Emery was saying, this is the moment. If there was ever a moment to get involved, it's right now. The numbers for, I was on a meeting the other day with some of the coalition members, and they told me that a few contract negotiations ago, or maybe even last time, I don't remember exactly, that there had been about a dozen people observing the contract negotiation session. And then the next one that happened, or the first one that happened in 2021, had over 300 people observing. So the change that we all have felt with the uprising of the Black Lives Matter movement last year around the George Floyd killings and all of the changes that have come since then have really, really changed the political landscape here. So if there is ever a moment to get involved, if there is ever a time to really jump on this beautiful wave that is happening of activism, now is the time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate all the work that you all do. It's, like you said, not easy and can be overwhelming, but to stay focused and baby steps is, you know, community can definitely help out, and we need each other so much during this time. Thank you so much for being interviewed. Thank you for joining us. That was Emery, a local resident who is working with neighbors to study and take action on systems of police impunity, and Karen, who's a youth mentor for TVNU Building Justice, a Jewish Social Justice Gap Year program in Portland, and a core leader with the Bend Arc organization, a Jewish political action group that is supporting local police accountability campaigns. Thank you both so much. We were talking about the police contract union negotiation and all of the work that they're all doing, as well as the petition will be in the show notes at kboo.fm/thegap. Alfia, is that the right? Am I saying that right, or is it just Gap?
No, yeah, it's the Gap. You said it right.
I said it right.
There will be links there to learn more. Yeah, you did a great job.
Thank you so much. We all are doing the best that we can. Thank you so much. So, yes, if you are interested, more info will be on the website for all to see. We're going to take a little very, very short musical break, and we'll be back in a couple of moments. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is Alfia, and you're listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. Ha-ha! I'm too much. Ha!
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow. He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Kendallow.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have a 30, 20, 10, 5, and then it's free.
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow.
That's right.
He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Kendallow.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch tears the snow in my clutch. Too much.
Too much.
You are listening to KVOO Portland. This is The Gap. That was Snow Miser. I'm Althea. Tammy's on the line here too, and Sonia is in the studio. That's a good song. I like the horns.
It's snowing outside. Yeah, also, I love it all.
Yeah, yeah. Very thematic. Big fan. I have a TikTok mention, not a full TikTok watch, but there was closer to Christmas time, like a makeup trend where people would take that sound plus the part about Heat Miser and like do half of their makeup in like ice and frozen themed, and then the other half in like fire and lava. Very cool. But anyway, we're not celebrating Christmas. We are preemptively thinking about a different holiday that's coming up this weekend, Valentine's Day. And, thinking about Valentine's Day, we are having our first coronavirus Valentine's Day. We want to talk about, what are we thinking about for Valentine's Day, but also, listeners, if you want to send someone some love today, thinking about preemptively Valentine's Day, you could definitely give us a call at 503-231-8177. If that's not your jam, haven't selected your Valentine yet, totally understandable. But also, I'm also curious, is there something nice that you've done for someone in your life recently? Thinking about, different ways that we could, show our love and appreciation to people when we can't be in close physical proximity. That number is 503-231-8187. Send someone some love or let us know what you've been doing, if you've done something nice for someone recently. Does that resonate with you, Tammy or Sonia?
I was going to ask, do you have a special Valentine's Day?
I don't know, to be honest,
okay.
What I'm going to say for Valentine's Day.
Have you done anything nice?
Hey, it's not... Yeah. Me? Nice? I do nice stuff all the time. Let me just think of one really quick. So this is when I try to do some self-reflection and turns out I'm a real Grinch. No, I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but reaching out to people. Maybe you clean the kitchen for them. That's what I've been doing. Being aware of my dishes. What were you going to say, Sonia?
Well, it's like I hear there's that hip term, what's your love language? Maybe people want to share the ways that they like to show, and the ways that they like to receive affection, love, caring, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you express these things, and how do you like to receive them?
I think also, considering we can't physically hug or give high fives or. In some cases, people can't, because it's not just romantic love, in my opinion, I think it's an all-encompassing caring and love in general. So some people can't even, I remember every year my grandmother would send me or give me a Valentine's Day card. And although she's no longer with us, just the fact that if she was, I probably couldn't even get that or, give her a hug or anything because of the coronavirus. So I think that there's definitely a lot of, we're going to have to get a little bit more agile, a little bit more flexible in how we are expressing our love. Although, we are one year in, but it still feels, I still feel foreign to not be able to fully feel confident in giving someone a hug or, wearing the mask and stuff when you with someone that you've known for so long and care for. So that's kind of my tidbit. Personally, if I'm just going to put myself out there, I just again to all my friends and my family, those are big Valentine's shout out to all of them. Mom who is listening, everyone else who's listening, East Coast, West Coast, everywhere, all over the world, and honestly, just for the whole community, I think everyone deserves a little bit extra love this year and every year. Just shout out to everyone. That's my shout out. And if you are interested,
love a shout out to everyone.
If you are interested in giving a shout out for Valentine's Day or just kind of talking with us about how you plan to celebrate it this year, since it is a little bit different, call in 503-231-8187.
When we're talking about...
I think it has to do with making the most of it. Yeah, go for it, Tanya.
When we're talking about... it's not just romance. I was thinking of... philia, eros, and agape. And these are Greek terms, different ways of, different forms of affection, of intimacy, of closeness. With philia, that's, we've heard that as a prefix and as a suffix. We do a lot of, use a lot of Greek and Latin in compound words today, That's just like close familiarity, association, you know, like homies, people you run with. Eros is, you know, that's where the word like erotic comes from. That's Valentine's. That's intimate, intimate sensuality. And we got agape, which is that deep brotherly love where, like, you will die for somebody. So someone's calling in to let us know what they think. So stand by.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
I remember being introduced to that, those sort of distinctions in high school. And I don't know that I fully resonated with them, but I remember thinking at the time that the word love felt like it was being used too. Like, you don't love me. You met me 2 weeks ago. We're friends, though. I get that you appreciate me.
I remember agape from high school, too. I don't know if it was in a book or if it was... I think it was a book. It was one of those books or something that you had to read in high school. I remember really liking that. And I love that that you mentioned that, Sonia, because it's like that bond, that love for everyone, selflessness, like brotherly, sisterly, like love thy neighbor as you love yourself type thing. And it really, I really love it. It definitely stuck with me. And we do have a caller on the line, I believe. Jim, you there?
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hey.
It's okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy the snow day.
Yeah, oh, it's beautiful, too. It's just gorgeous. But it seems like there's a really pent-up demand for love for the last year. It's been bottled. It's been pushed back. And I'm really feeling the need to express it. And one thing I did is I went to a store that you can safely go to, and they had on sale those little sweetheart message hearts. And they were cheap. So I bought a bunch, and I gave one to everyone. And it's not much, but there's just, I mean, it's been so long since we've been able to express love. And thanks so much for mentioning philios, agape, and eros, because these are like the animals that have so many words for water and snow and ice. We have, in English, one word for love, and I love pizza, and I love ice cream, and I love you. But the love of others has been really stunted and bottled up, and I'm really, really sorry. And I hope things get better. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I love that. That's so beautiful. And I hope that you get back what you give out. So I thank you for that. I hope that your day is filled with positivity and agape and philios and all of that. That was really sweet. If you can and you'd like to share your Valentine's Day love, shout-outs, appreciation plans, please call in 503-231-8187. And I think we have another caller on the line. Harry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call. The question I have for all three of you is, what would you rather receive? A box of Whitman samplers chocolates or a box of chocolate covered cherries?
Ooh.
Thank you for that question. Ooh, would one of you like to go first?
Okay, I'll give you my gut reaction here, but it's influenced by the fact that I'm somebody who likes cherries. Lemon samplers are fun, but I find that they kind of round longer than I want them to because there's maybe one or two that I can't quite identify, and I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy the experience. So I would say gut reaction, chocolate-covered cherries.
Sonia, do you have a preference?
Nah.
You have it equal for both? All right. I would have to, I'm going to make it difficult for you and say samplers because it's, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
I guess if there is an occasion to get a box of chocolates, you might as well do it on Valentine's Day.
I hope that we were helpful, although I hope that you didn't leave more confused than when you came in.
Yeah, it was great. And one last question. Your show name, The Gap, you called it the Gap because both of you worked at the Gap clothing store when you were teenagers?
Close. Close, but no dice.
No.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate
we
that.
We all worked at Old Navy, but that's two on the nose. No, just kidding. We didn't do that. I didn't,
oh,
anyway.
Okay.
I guess I can't speak for the other two.
Thank you very much for taking my questions.
All right on.
Thank you, Harry.
Thanks, Harry.
I really,
yeah, go ahead, please.
I would say I really hope that Harry, I wonder if Harry will end up just buying both the chocolate with the cherries and the samplers as well. Because, you know, at the end of the day, can end up just having both, so... That's what I always say. The more, the merrier.
Well, my understanding of the show name is that, well, this is Bridge City, right? We got 11 bridges in here, and bridges are a great metaphor for bridging any kind of gap. And we represent a few different gaps. I'm quite a bit. I don't know if I want to admit this in public. I'm quite a bit older than the others. We have generation, we have gender identity, we have ethnic and racial gaps, and we're all working together. And that's kind of like a microcosm of what we're hoping to facilitate in our community is people of different sorts coming together to make good things happen.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Sonia, that's beautifully said. Bridging the gap. I'm not even going to say anything. That was beautifully said. Althea, do you have anything to add to that or any thoughts?
No, no. What Sonia said was great. I was just thinking about how, you know, noncommittal we are with the verb that goes in front of the gap, whether it's minding the gap or bridging the gap or filling in the gap. But, yeah.
No, it's all of it.
Beautifully explained.
Speaking of which, we do have another caller on the line. Robbie, are you there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. Nice to hear
Robbie.
From you.
All right. Yeah, I loved the conversation. I just wanted to mention, like, it's. I liked what that caller had mentioned with, like, love having only one meaning, or not one meaning, but in here we only have one word for it. But it's like, you know, like I have a love for all humans and all people, even people that I don't like or people that don't like me, I still love them. And I think there's a very hard concept in understanding that kind of being able to get over or forgive and a lot of stuff. But I think that a lot of that is weird right now because people are so individualized. I think we're being told one of the things, and this is just it's funny to hear language, but like how people speak, but everyone talks about social distancing and that's totally wrong. We're physically distancing. But I just hope that we aren't socially distancing ourselves too.
Yeah, that's a serious distinction that needs to be made. Totally, yeah.
Well, the precision of language is such an important thing. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah, it's a very, thank you for taking the call and talking about this subject. You know, it's important that people can recognize and be cognizant of, you know, that very notion of, you know, being separate now or something because of the way that we are living with the pandemic. I don't know. Anyway, I'll take my answers off unless you have any questions for me, but thank you.
Well, I do have a question for you, Robbie, if you're still there. Oh, I guess. Oh, you are. Sweet. I wonder if you have any Valentine's Day shout-outs to anyone that you'd like to shout out over there.
Yeah, absolutely. My girlfriend, she's definitely not listening. I just dropped her off at work. But, yeah, that would be that. And also my mom. I hope she has a good Valentine's. I haven't seen her in over a year. She just lives in Washington, but, you know, and my dad, I hope he has a good day too. I'm probably going to call them after this actually, but you know, I wish that they had a happy Valentine's as you both and Sonia, they're all three of y'all and the whole human race.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
I hope everybody, gets a happy weekend here.
Thank you, Robbie. That's so positive. Thank you. That really put a smile on my face. And I do hope that you call your parents to show that appreciation, that love. Like you said, we aren't social distancing. We are just physically distancing. But thank God we have all of these different ways and gadgets and tools to still stay in touch, still connect, still mobilize. And just on top of what you said, you know, that love for humanity is the thing that drives a lot of the work that we see here, a lot of the grassroots work, whether it's like Emery and Karen, who are working around the police accountability campaign, or many of the other people that we've had on the show that are mobilizing and working and organizing. And it's all because of love of humanity and wanting to provide space that is safe and positive for your fellow human being. So that love for humanity is there. And it's, I think that in Portland, you feel it a lot too. And I do hope that we sooner than later can go to the next step and give hugs, high fives, you know, hand out flowers and, you know, just be safe about it. That was beautifully said. Thank you so much.
We're coming up on it.
About a minute left. Or Sonia, any final thoughts before we wrap it up for the day?
I promise I'm going to remember to call my parents this
time.
I'll text you.
That was what I was
going to
say.
Sonia.
Lecture Sonia about it. Yeah. Make sure Sonia does that. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. And I hope that, you know, if you're in Portland, you enjoy your snow day and you enjoy your weekend of expressing love to the people in your life that you love.
You know, there I want to remind folks that there are people who are taking donations of clothing and taking donations.